Would you bow your heads, please? Oh, gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we appreciate you, Father God, for all that you are in our lives, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, and most of all, your love. I pray, Father God, this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Father God, that it will be acceptable in your sight, Lord. I ask you, Father God, to forgive me of my sins, Lord, and to cleanse me, Father God, of all unrighteousness. And I come before you, Father God, as a humble servant, Father God, asking you, Father God, just to use me, Father God, as a vessel of honor, Father God, that you be glorified, Lord. Not me, but you. I want you to be glorified. I want others to see you, Father God, in me, Lord. These prayers I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. And Father, I thank you for it. Amen and amen. Greetings, everyone. It's an honor to assemble with you again. As always, let us pause for a moment to acknowledge the presence of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. Let me also acknowledge your presence here and all that will partake of this lesson through various means. Thank you. Your presence is greatly appreciated, and I take it not for granted. Amen. When we last met, we talked about the subject matter of how to overcome distractions. We identified four pillars: recognition, targeted focus, perseverance, and compartmentalization. In our study of the first pillar, recognition, we discovered that distractions are unique to the individual, but there are internal as well as external distractions. And we must avoid the trap of denial and be honest about the recognition of our distractions. We were also introduced to Jairus, the ruler or keeper of the meeting place or synagogue, and the distraction of his daughter being sick near death, and the woman that had suffered with an issue of blood for 12 years. And amid all this, there was a crowd of people that had their own distractions and were there for a solution. This leads to the second pillar in our series: targeted focus. Let me address targeted. When we hear the word targeted, it's a word that is generally used in the business realm, in the secular world. And what it does is talking about targeting audiences, of targeting campaigns, targeting people of different backgrounds, demographics, gender, ethnicities. It's a key phrase that is repeatedly rehearsed in the secular world. If you're going to start a business, you're going to hear what is your target, or you got to have a targeted audience or a targeted group you're after. If you're running a campaign to run for some type of official office, there's different demographics, different genders that you're going to have to cater to. You got to find out what their needs are, and you target those needs. You have people that will get out, and they would say certain things that will let those that they are trying to target understand that I hear you, or I see you, or I understand your issue. Amen. I would like in this lesson to use something similar, which is a person, object, or a place selected to zero in our attention. And the reason why it's important, because we need to be in a position where we target, where we zero in on the solution to our distraction. Because all of us know that when we're going through things, we zero in on the distraction. There's no doubt about it. I'm looking at all the different things going on with me, and I'm zeroing in on it. I don't see anything else. So what it does is it causes me to get frustrated. It causes me to get anxiety. It causes me to get certain things began to start happening in my life, because I'm targeted on that specific thing that's going on with me. Okay? Amen? Amen? Then there is focus. which is a central point of our attraction, attention, activity, and concentration. In essence, targeted focus is to zero in and concentrate on our solutions to our distraction. Let me say that again, because I want y'all to hear this real good. Targeted focus is to zero in and concentrate on our solutions to our distractions. So how do we do this? At this point, I would like to introduce the Valk learning style model, which classifies four types of learning preferences. The acronym Valk stands for visual, auditory, read/write, and kinesthetic. Now, this learning style model was introduced by Walter Burke Barb. At this time, it was called the VAC learning style model. It divided people into three categories of learners. We had the visual learner, right? The visual learner is the individual that absorbs information by sight, like pictures, movies, diagrams. If they see it, they can learn from it. Amen? Then you have the second one, the auditory. This learner observes information by sound, like music, discussion, or lectures. Now, I want you to hear this real good, because all of us in one form or another demonstrate these learning styles. It's part of our human makeup. I'm going to be dealing with a subject in for my next book that talks about this in more greater detail. But the reason why I'm saying this, and I'm pausing here a moment, because I want you to understand something. None of us come into the world, as some sociologists believe, with a blank slate in our minds. We have instincts. They're built in. We're designed that way. When you get hungry, you don't just cry because, you cry because there's something in you that's telling you you're hungry. You just do something to get some attention from someone to take care of that need. That's just part of who we are as human beings. Amen? Yeah. So all of us, in one form or another, is a visual learner. All of us, in one form or another, is going to learn through auditory. Amen? Now, the next one is to read or to write, right? Now, this one is kind of tricky. And I'm going to tell you why. These are people that learn through text. And I'm not talking about texting on your phone. I'm talking about people that will take notes in class, detailed notes. I'm talking about people that will sit down and they'll read a book, and they're able to read this book and underline stuff and absorb the information through that process. Now, I'm going to be honest about it. That's not a lot of people can do that. Amen? Now, we have the kinesthetic learner. This is the individual that learns information by moving. Simply put, they learn through movement, experiments, and hands-on activities. Amen? See, these are the type of people, they can see it, they can hear it, they can read it. But it don't register until they start doing it. Amen? And when they start doing it, all of a sudden, the light goes off. Whoa, that's what that is. Amen? In the dictionary, there was a word that I love to hear, because I hear it often. You hear it on TV, you hear it when people talk about different things or whatever, but they always use that word an epiphany. You ever heard that word? What does that mean? Anybody? You know what that means? That means that you start getting into something, right? And you started doing it, but you don't really understand or have the knowledge of it. But then all of a sudden you get to a point in your life where you get to a point in a situation that all of a sudden the light goes off. And you be saying, oh, that's what that is. Amen. I don't know about y'all. I love it. I love it because when I drive down the road and I see people doing certain things and I look, I'm observing because I'm very observant when it comes to people. And I'm watching them and say, man, oh, that's why. That's why it's done like that. Because we all are different. We all have different ways of learning. We have different ways of acting and interacting. We got different interests. We just do. But then on this journey that we call life, there is that time of interconnectedness. Well, we connect with each other, right? And then when we connect, we learn from each other. We grow with each other. But this is the thing I want you to understand. And what God blessed me to hear and understand was this. When you began to learn and get connected with other people and different things in your life, you have to be willing to allow those things that you're connecting with to grow. Now, prime example, you put the apple seed in the ground, the tree grows, right? The branches come out full of apples. Does the apple stay on the tree? What do they do? If somebody don't pick them, what are they going to do? They're going to fall to the ground. They're going to get disconnected. When you have children, amen, much as you love your children, when they're small, when they begin to get 13, 14, 15, and so on, guess what? You can't wait till they get them a job, get their own place, and start understanding that, guess what? Oh, you understand what bills is now. Oh, so you know what responsibility is now. All of a sudden, you understand why I'm telling you what I was telling you. Amen? But see, that's part of life. We have to realize that we have to keep moving and to allow not only ourselves to grow, but those around us to grow. Amen? Now, why am I saying all this? I'm saying this because it is important to understand that as we learn in this process, there are going to be distractions. There are going to be things that's trying to take you off course, trying to get you confused, trying to make you doubt, fearful, all those different things. Amen? But this morning, we're going to deal with targeted focus because we're going to show you how to deal with your distraction. Amen? Amen. Neil Fleming, an educator, in 1987 developed his model, working with the Bar-Vac model. He added the one additional learning style, which we spoke of just now, the read and write learning style. These learners, like I said before, they want stuff in text. They'll read a textbook. You know, I noticed, I'm laughing because I'm telling you how the mind is so beautiful. I'm going to show you how complex it is. You can take a small book like this and hand it to someone and say, take a look at this, I want you to read this. And they will take the book and they will say, okay, I'll read it. That same person, you hand them a book that thick and say, yeah, I want you to read this. You know what they're going to do? Get intimidated. Why? Because they see how thick the book is. That's just how it is. Amen? Why am I saying all this? I'm telling you that a distraction, it's not going to just stand up and say, hey, here I am. It's going to disguise itself. A distraction can be something that you're not even aware of because you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention to your emotions. You're not paying attention to the fact that when certain things happen in your life, you get an anxiety. Why? Why would you, your mental state change from this book to this one? Why would it change? Because you're still doing the same thing, right? Reading a book. Amen? Amen. Now, let me say this. Every one of us has a unique learning style. Whether we are in the academic realm, the workplace, or in life in general. With the clarification of targeted focus and the Volk model in mind, let us move back to the biblical. Look with me to Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Mark chapter 5, verse 22, it reads, "And when he saw Jesus," I want to stop right there. This statement is telling us that Jairus had a targeted focus. As you know from our previous lesson, that Jairus was a ruler of the meeting place or the synagogue with all that entails. We also learned that his daughter was sick and at the point of death. And that was his distraction. But let us delve a little deep into this statement. I would like to key on the word saw. The past tense of the verb see. It forms the simple past, which is used to express an action that has started and finished at a specific time in the past. Did y'all get that? Jairus, when he saw Jesus, this passage is telling us that Jairus learned about Jesus from a miracle he saw Jesus perform previously. And this knowledge caused him to make Jesus his targeted focus. Amen? He knew from experience that Jesus possessed the power to help him overcome his distraction. Why? Because he's seen it. Amen? Did y'all catch that? That one word, and when he saw Jesus. When someone asks you, "Did you see the movie?" Yeah, I saw the movie. If I say I saw something, what that's telling you? I'm not going to see it, am I? When I say I saw the movie, that means I've saw it already. I've already seen it. Jairus saw Jesus in his element. He saw Jesus healing. He saw Jesus setting free. He saw Jesus delivering. So Jairus knew firsthand that Jesus was capable of doing exactly what he needed. Amen? Amen. That one word saw tells me that. Amen? In essence, Jairus was a visual learner. Amen? Next, we learn about the woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And had spent all her money with doctors but didn't get any better. This lady's distraction was different than Jairus. This lady had tried everything humanly possible to overcome her distraction. And you can imagine her desperation. But in Mark 5, 27b, it says something. Something that we're going to examine. There you'll find these words. The woman had heard about Jesus. Amen? She learned of Jesus through what she heard. Jairus learned about Jesus based on what he saw. Amen? You can imagine Now, there was a lot of talk about the things that Jesus done and was doing. All she had was secondhand knowledge of what Jesus could do, and in the state of mind she was in, there was nothing else to lose. So why not take a chance on what these people are saying about this man, right? This is that point where you come to realize that you have to look outside of the norms of life and reach to what is normally considered as impossible. This is a place where a faith is found. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're introduced to the woman's faith in Mark 5 and 28. Because she said to herself, if I can just touch his clothes, I will get well. Amen. This woman is saying within herself, she was saying in her in a conscious mind that if I could just get to him, not based on what I seen, but what I heard. Amen. Let me tell y'all something. Hear me real good on this. When God is putting you in a position to do some things, when you're trying to accomplish something, guess what? You ain't going to see it all the time. The path is not always going to be clear. Amen? But all you have to do is believe that what you're doing, I'm doing it for the right reason. I'm doing it to help somebody. I'm doing it to show others that through this process, your life can change. Amen. I don't know about nobody else, but God has blessed me to understand that we need a targeted focus. We need to understand that we can't be scatterbrained or scattered in what we're doing. We got to get centered in what we're doing. Because when we have our targeted focus, guess what happens? We're able to recognize our distractions and concentrate on their solutions. Amen? Amen. There are men in the world today that are walking around with a wellspring of faith, yet not the courage to execute it. In essence, this woman was an auditory learner. What must be understood is in these passages that there are no complaining, no contemplating about what the solution is. These two people were at a point in their lives where power, prestige, financial technology, stuff could not help their distractions. They needed someone or something greater. They found what they needed in Jesus. So guess what? Jesus became their targeted focus. Amen? If you think that your money can solve all your problems, that's where your focus is going to be. If you think your athleticism, if you think your intellectualism, all those things will become your targeted focus. Amen? But what I'm trying to get us to understand and the world to understand is this. There will be some things that you're going to deal with in your life that's outside of your natural capabilities. You won't have enough money to stop what the devil can do in your life. Amen? You don't have enough intellectualism to think your way out of certain situations in your life. Amen? Because there are things that's going to happen in your life that you just can't understand and you can't explain. You just got to believe it. Amen? There are times that we also find ourselves in similar situations. But instead of targeted focus, we allow our distractions to take us away from what we're supposed to be doing. So what changed? These two people had the same target focus. They zeroed in on him. There was something else that happened. They both moved from being either a visual learner or auditory learner to becoming what? A kinesthetic learner. Amen? Y'all remember the difference, right? Jairus learned about Jesus based on what he saw. The one with the issue of blood learned about Jesus based on what she heard. Kinesthetic means you got to get in here and start doing something. You got to start participating. Amen? Because when you get that experience, it's all right to hear what other people are saying about Jesus. It's all right to see certain things going on. That's fine. But it becomes more and more real when you start experiencing the love of God. It becomes more real when you start experiencing the healing of God. Amen? When God delivers you from things, ask anybody that has been delivered from drugs, alcoholism, whatever it is. When God delivered them, amen, you're not going to tell them that it didn't happen. They know it did because they experienced it. Amen? So these two people, coming from opposite sides of the spectrum, with different distractions, guess what? Found themselves in a place where they had the same targeted focus. Amen. In essence, they had to act upon their faith. I'm not going to hold you. As we close, I would encourage you to embrace the pillar of targeted focus, where we have learned that we must zero in and concentrate on the solution to our distractions. Jesus. That's the solution to our distraction. Not whatever distraction life may bring. With this mentality, we will begin to move forward, better able to overcome distractions, zero in and concentrate on our solutions, and guess what? Become better people. Amen. Be able to help other people to realize, I understand you're going through things. I understand life is to seem like it's not fair. I understand that your husband may be doing this, your wife may be doing this, your kids may. It may be all kinds of different things going on in your life. But I'm telling you, there's an answer. That answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Target him. Let him be your targeted focus. Concentrate on him. Amen. Let me tell y'all something. Hear me real good. I understand where I am. I understand that there's people out there that's going through so many different things. I was not ready for where God has put me right now, 5 years ago, because I understood the burden of it, and it scared me. I'm standing here saying, Lord, wait a minute. You're asking me to bring forth the word of God. You're asking me to stand firm on your word. You're asking me to tell people about you. But what happens if the people come and something don't go right? What do I do? God said, don't worry about that. Because that's not your burden. It's mine. He took it from me. All I can do, give you a visual. By living my life the way I'm supposed to. All I can do is give you all to her. Amen. That's all I can do. By standing here preaching and teaching the word of God. All I can do is give you the kinesthetic. Guess what? By going out and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen. And guess what? God did something else for me. As I told you earlier, the reason the writing was added. So God gave me a book. So God, let me write something for you. Amen. And I'm grateful. This is about him. This is about you seeing him through me. Just about you understanding that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, this is possible. Amen? I'm not telling you that, oh, well, you know, overnight you're going to overcome all your distractions. No, because they're not going anywhere. Distractions are a part of life. All I'm standing here telling you this morning is that I'm going to teach you how to overcome your distractions. Amen? We talked about recognition. This lesson, we talked about targeted focus. But recognition, targeted focus, totally up to you. This is not something that I can hold your hand and you know how you, I don't know about you, but as a parent, I know God blessed me with 6 children. And I was there to teach them how to ride a bike. I was there to teach them how to drive. And it was hands on. I had to be there. I had to help them through it, help them get over the anxiety, the fears, things of that nature, right? Amen. When it comes to overcoming your distractions, guess what? It starts with you. My children had to get on the bike first, right? To learn how to ride. Is that correct? They had to get in the car behind the wheel to learn how to drive, right? In order for you to overcome your distractions, you're going to have to give recognition to it. You're going to have to get a targeted focus. Amen. We have been given 2 great examples on how to approach distraction. However, there's more to come. My hope that you would join us as we introduce the 3rd pillar, perseverance. And I'm sure it will help you as the previous 2 lessons have. Amen. Amen. May God bless all of you. I thank God for you. I really do. I want you to know that my prayer is that God would bless you wherever you are and whatever you're going through. But notice, I say this with all sincerity in my heart. If you embrace this lesson and follow these 4 pillars, God will show you that your distractions will come to a minimum and how you deal with them will be exalted. Amen. And I guarantee you, you'll become a better person. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Father in heaven, we thank you. Lord, we appreciate you, Father God, for your word. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, and most of all, your love, Father. Thank you for every soul that's here, and every soul, Father God, that hears this word, Father God, to whatever venue, Lord. Bless every one of them, Lord. And teach them, Father God, through your word, Father God, how to overcome their distractions. These prayers I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. And Father, I thank you for it. Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, let it rest, rule, and abide in us henceforth and forever. Let every child of God signify by saying, amen and amen.